morning, everyone. Well, so it's good to see you all here for another exhort. So today I want to take a look at a particular message from our reading in Romans 10. So just get a thing up if you haven't got it already. So most of you will be familiar with the subject I want to touch on today, but that's okay because we're told to exhort one unto another, and as I'm speaking to you, you maybe think of some references or tips to pass to me after the meeting. So, as you do. Okay. So the focus passage for today is Romans 10 and verse 13, but for a little bit of context, I'm going to read verse 12, maybe even back further. No, we'll read verse 12 as well. So, Romans 13, verse 12. There is no difference between Jew and Greek, because they all have the same Lord, who gives richly to all who call on him. And verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So, what is it that we've just read here? Comes across as a pretty amazing verse. I don't think you could find a disciple of Christ anywhere that would deny that. So what does it really mean? So, well, this amazing snippet starts out by talking about everyone. I think we all understand what the everyone Paul's talking about there means. So it's not just the Romans, is it? It's everyone throughout all ages, even people that haven't read this letter at all. And if we looked at the previous verse to reassure ourselves, it talks about there being no difference between peoples, because they all have the same Lord. And that was verse 12 there. Anyway, let's move on. Next part of the verse. So I'll read it again. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So what does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? Is it just a simple matter of asking God to be saved and then all will be right? Or is there more to the statement than meets the eye? So we as a community of Christ disciples tend to have a deeper understanding than the average Christian may have of verses like these. And without context and understanding, it can be quite dangerous pulling out a verse like this and quoting it as law. Because we know that calling on the name of the Lord means a bit more than just praising and asking God for salvation, doesn't it? Although that is a part of it. So I want to maybe dig a little bit deeper into this line of thought today. But before we do that, let's take a look at the end of this verse. So verse 13 again. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, so what does it mean to be saved? Well, we all know that part of the verse is what it's about. It's one of the core messages of the Bible. We all want to be a part of God's future plan and live a life that shows it now, don't we? So I don't want to dive into this subject either. So let's get back to the middle of the verse. Where we read about calling on the name of the Lord. So, what does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? And how do we work it out? So, I'm sure you could all give me an answer for that. But let's go through it anyway. And let's take the easy option and see where else the Bible talks about calling on the name of the Lord. So, it comes up quite a lot in the Bible, as you would expect. And we all know the idea behind it, so rather than turning to all the passages, let's settle with two for now, from Kings to jog our memories. So, first passage is from 1 Kings 18, verse 24. You're welcome to turn it up, but I'll read it out anyway. So, in this chapter, Elijah is he's facing off against the prophets of Baal, and he says to them in verse 24, "Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God." Then all the people shouted, "That's a good idea." So you may be wondering why I chose this verse. The reason I've chosen this verse is, unlike the one in Romans, it has little to do with salvation, most people may tend to take it. And rather it shows the behaviour and faith of Elijah, and the way he was able to completely trust God, that he would bring down fire from heaven for all the people to see who the one true God was. Okay, so keeping that in mind, we'll take our second verse from Kings there. And it's maybe another odd one. So 2 Kings 2, verse 24. And here we're reading about Elisha as he was travelling to Bethel. And some people came out and started giving him a bit of a hard time, teasing and mocking him. And I read it from verse 24, 2 Kings 2. He looked behind him, took note of the young men, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. Suddenly, two female bears emerged from the woods and mauled the young men. So again, the verses, it's unlike the one in Romans 10. But just like the other one from Kings, it shows the faith of Elisha, that Elisha hadn't got to care for him. Although I imagine it was in a bit of an unexpected manner with the bears. Anyway, so moving on. So what is the key to calling on the name of the Lord? Well, from these verses we just read, there's many aspects to it, as you would all answer me if I was to ask you the question. But I want to pick out one of the examples from Elijah and Elisha, and that's faith. So it's a faith to ask God for help, a faith that God would work in their lives. Who else do we know that called on the name of the Lord in the Old Testament? Well, Abraham would be the classic example, wouldn't he? He called on the name of the Lord throughout his life. It comes up many times. He showed a massive amount of faith in many instances. And notably, when he was not asked, but told to sacrifice his son in Genesis 22. So the faith these men had, it was not just any old faith either. It was a faith that they worked at all their lives. And as such, they were forming a relationship with God, just like we want to. So we know that calling on the name of the Lord must be accompanied by faith. But what does it mean if we would put it into simple terms? What is faith? Well, we could look at the dictionary. That would be fairly easy. And that would tell us, faith is confidence or trust in a person or thing or a belief not necessarily based on proof. So is that definition all it is? It seems like an easy thing to do. That's pretty good. Have a bit of faith and be saved. Well, rather than just sitting for the dictionary meaning, let's see what the Bible has to say about faith. And I'm sure you'd all remember it, the classic one from Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance that what we hope for will come about, and the certainty that what we cannot see exists. Pretty similar to dictionary meaning, but let's have a look at some more verses from our readings today even. It comes up twice in Romans, Romans 10, and starting firstly on verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And the next one from verse 17 of Romans 10. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the works of God. And actually, there's many, many more references if we look them up. And rather than doing that, I'm just going to drag a couple of key points out of some verses. Okay, in Hebrews 11, we read a verse, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And in Romans 3. And as we go through this, maybe just look at some similarities, which you all know already, I'm sure. So Romans 3, a man is justified by faith. And in Romans 4, we read another verse. It is of faith that it might be saved according to grace. That we might be saved according to grace. And Galatians 2, I live by faith in the Son of God. And in Ephesians 2, we read another verse. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And we'll take our last one from James 2. And I'll grab some key points from a couple of verses. First one from verse 22. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And verse 24. You see then that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only. And verse 26 of James 2. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also, or pointless. So if we push all of that together, along with the other mentions of faith that we've been following. So we probably sum it up a little bit. So faith comes from hearing the word of God. And just like our original passage in Romans, through God's, just like our original passage, through God's grace we can be saved by faith. And faith helps us to overcome or work through hard times and difficulties. Also, without faith, it's impossible to serve or please God. And one of the bigger aspects of our faith is that we believe in Christ's life and resurrection and the kingdom to come. And finally, faith must, we must show it in our works, because faith without works is pointless. So if we cram all that together, we know that faith is believing in God, obviously. And it's actually more than that, isn't it? Because if we have faith, we also believe in what God says and what he promises. And in addition, we need to do our best to do his will. Our self-faith is pointless, isn't it? And while this it may be a basic subject, it should mean a lot. And what does it mean in our lives? So faith in God is a bit of a process, isn't it? We're all at different stages, and although we often slip, it's something that just like Elijah, Elisha, and Abraham, we work at it every day. And as we saw before, it all starts with hearing the word of God and responding to his message. Then, after hearing and believing what God has shown us in the Bible, we start to see his plans for us in the earth. We start to see God in his character. And just like we're told in the Bible, we try our very best to start building a character like Christ in ourselves, so that we're ready to be a part of God's plan. In doing so, we start to take on a different view of life, a view that many others don't have, a faithful view that God he'll provide in a way that's best, and will continue to guide us all through our lives, if we all let him. And in this way, we can build a trusting relationship with our God. Just as a side note there. So, having faith in God is such a wonderful thing, isn't it? Because we're most blessed knowing that God he's always in control. Consider our hearts and by circumstances. It can ease away our worries. Because we need not be worried about what tomorrow will bring, because we know that God is in control of all things for good. Although another fairly short exhort, let's just wrap it all up. So in our opening passage, we read that we can be saved by calling on the name of the Lord. We saw that the requirement for calling on the name of the Lord is to have, well, among many things, have faith and believe in Christ and the kingdom to come. And we need to build up a character like Christ now, and in doing so, form a trusting relationship with our God. And then, just as the verse says, we can be almost 100% certain that we can be saved through God's amazing grace. So as we look forward to the coming kingdom, remember Jesus and the bread and the wine, and we're so thankful of another opportunity to remember Jesus and his amazing example of faith. Thank you.